Glad to see all you visitors that have joined us to be with us as we offer our worship to God in spirit and in truth. One announcement before I start. This might be Mika and Rosa's last Sunday. They'll be going to Western Samoa as missionaries to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people in Western Samoa. See, Mika just came back just shortly, spent a month over here, and is going back again to take that gospel. During the two times that he spent over there in Western Samoa, through him, the message was preached, and 18 people had been converted. So he's going over there with his wife this time to try and build a church house, a meeting place in his village. So hopefully, and pray for him, that God will be with him and he'll be prosperous and successful, even as God had told Joshua, you keep my word and you'll be prosperous and you'll be successful. But God bless you both. Every so often, I would preach upon the church that Christ built. Latest census shows that there are over 3,000 religious bodies, more commonly known as denominations, of the denominations that take the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, these 3,000, many of them have different names, different doctrines, different beginnings in regard to their existence. So with all these many denominations, person might ask, how may I know when I have found the church that Christ built as he had promised in Matthew the 16th chapter verse 18 when he says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. See, the thing is, the Bible is given to me to reveal God's purpose. When I read Ephesians the 3rd chapter verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul had spoken about the church's role in regard to the scheme of redemption. In that third chapter of this book of Ephesians, he had stated, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, that this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the church then is in the eternal purpose of God in regard to salvation for each one of us. The church plays an important part. But then I would ask, how may I know when I find that church? How can I know? See, the New Testament, the gospel of Jesus Christ, had stated and revealed that the church built by Jesus Christ has a distinct identity and is revealed in that gospel, that if I study and search diligently the scriptures, I can know and identify that church. It's not difficult if I am a student of the Bible. I'm going to give 5 guidelines in regard to the identification of the church that Christ built. When he had stated, I will build my church, we know in Acts the 2nd chapter that the church was built through his apostles. But here are the 5 guidelines. If you want to take this down, fine, or if you want a copy of this lesson with all the scriptures, I'll give them to you too. See, the church in prophecy, that's back under the Old Testament, especially by prophets like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, and the prophet Micah, who had prophesied that the church will be built in a certain city and in a particular day. So in Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, verse 1 and 2, here's what the prophet had stated and was repeated by Micah the prophet later on. Now, this is 700 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. But here's what he said. He said, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, For the Lord speaks, sons I have reared and brought up. That's in the first chapter. I drop down now to chapter 2 of this book. In verse 2 of chapter 2 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah wrote and said, in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths, and that the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It's repeated in Micah, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through verse 5. There are several things about this passage of Scripture. One, the house of God will be established on the top of the mountain. That's one. The second thing that with the Scriptures teach is that from Zion, which Jerusalem is called Mount Zion, the law will go forth from Mount Zion. But then he said it in another way. He says the word of the Lord will go from Jerusalem. So I know that the house of the Lord will be established. I know it will begin in Mount Zion. And I know that the word of Jehovah will go forth from the city of Jerusalem. So I know where the church will begin. It will begin in the city of Jerusalem. In Daniel, the 7th chapter, which is about 500 years or 490 years before the coming of Jesus Christ, Daniel also prophesied about the time of the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. See, the word Christ, the word church and the word Christ are used interchangeably. Even as Christ says, I will build my church, and later on, in two verses later, he says, I will give to you, to the apostle, the keys of the kingdom. So he used the word church and he used the word kingdom interchangeably. But in Daniel, and look in chapter 44, or chapter 2, verse 44 of this book, Daniel had prophesied by interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And there were four kingdoms that was in this dream, and he described these four kingdoms. Those four kingdoms, it's the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of Medo-Persia, the kingdom of Greece, and finally, the Roman kingdom. What he says about the Roman kingdom is this, is found in verse 44, in Daniel 2:44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms, indicating that this is an eternal kingdom and no human kingdom can destroy it. So again, Daniel gives us a clue as to the when that kingdom would be established, and he says it will be the days of the Roman kings, or will be the days of the Roman emperors, which are the Caesars. And so you can see in Luke, the 2nd chapter, in the days of Augustus Caesar, there was a call out for all of the people to go back to their hometown and they register, where they will register as citizens of that particular town of which they came from. And so that's the reason why Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to register themselves in the city of Bethlehem. But it was in the days of Augustus Caesar. The church was established during the days of Tiberius Caesar, indicating again, like Daniel had stated, it will be in the days of the Roman emperors. And so when it comes to Luke, in the great commission of Jesus Christ, that after his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ gave these apostles instructions in regard to the great commission of preaching and taking that gospel to the whole world. And in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 47, I read what Christ had said to the apostles. And he said to the apostles the words that said this: it is written that the Christ should suffer, rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So what Christ had stated in Luke, the 24th chapter, of preaching the word to all of the nations, fulfills those prophecies of Micah and Isaiah, when Isaiah said, God will establish a house on the mountain, all nations will flow into it, and he did say that the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. And he tells them, it will begin from Jerusalem. In verse 49, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in that city. What city? Verse 52 tells me, and they, after worshiping Christ, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. All of those scriptures tell me that the beginning of the Lord's church, in which he says, I will build my church, all began in the city of Jerusalem. No other city, but in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that city of which, when the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness, and then crossed the Jordan River, entered the promised land, and God said, I will set my name in Jerusalem. And Solomon built that temple in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was a very important city to the nation of Israel. Jerusalem became an important city in regard to the building of the church, because Christ says to these apostles, you stay in Jerusalem and you wait for the power of the Spirit to come upon you. In Jerusalem it will begin. So I know the place. When is the beginning, though? In Acts the second chapter, verse 16, Peter begins his sermon to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And so in the second chapter of verse 16, he said this. This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. It shall be in the last days, God says, I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. So what Joel prophesied is the coming of the Holy Spirit when? In the last days. Isaiah had prophesied in the last days, God will set up his house on the mountain. So both agree from the standpoint of the days. When are the last days? When I look at Hebrews, the first chapter, it tells me what the last days. The last days is this final days that began on the day of Pentecost of Acts, the second chapter, because Joel said in the last days, and Peter says, this is that which was spoken through Joel. And so I read in Hebrews, the first chapter. It says in verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, as in verse 2 of Hebrews, the second chapter, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed to us, whom he had spoken to us, the appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So the beginning of the revelation through Jesus Christ began in the last days. The word of Jehovah began in the last days. And so I need to identify when in the last days. All of these passages I read, you know, you can read and find out, and I'll come to a, you know, summary of what was stated. In Acts, the second chapter, this is what the record reads about that particular day of Pentecost. It said this, when the day of Pentecost has come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. There are two festivals that are close together. Christ was killed, was crucified during the Passover feast. 50 days after the Passover feast, the feast of Pentecost came. And it was on that day of Pentecost, which is seven Sabbaths plus one day, which makes it 50 days, which makes it on the first day of the week. So on the first day of that week, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Like Joel said, on the last days, I will pour out my spirit among all men. And so I know that it's that the fact of it's on the day of Pentecost. Now, I go backwards. Here are several passages that are important. During the last year of the ministry of Jesus Christ, he said to his apostles, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here this day who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." So Jesus Christ had prophesied the fact that the kingdom will come during your lifetime. Some of you will die, but many of you will still be alive when the kingdom will come with power. And so when I find that power and what that power is, I know that the kingdom came. I go to Luke, the 24th chapter. In Luke, the 24th chapter, this is what Christ had stated to the apostles before his ascension into heaven. And when he spoke this to these apostles, to go into the city, remain in that city until until that power came. And in verse 49, it says this of chapter 24. This is what he said. "Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Then in verse 49, "I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you and you stay in that city until you are clothed with power from on high." That same power that Christ had prophesied in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 1, in which he says that the power shall come during the lifetime of you people, the apostles, and it shall come from on high, that the kingdom will come with power. Christ said to these apostles in Luke, the 48th, and Luke 24, and verse 49, 48 and 49, "You stay in that city until you be clothed with power from on high." All right? Then I go to Acts, the first chapter, verse 8. In first chapter of verse 8, it says this to the apostles. This is what said in the apostles. Christ had told these apostles, "It's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria." All right? What will come with that power? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come with power. And when I read Acts 2, verse 1 through verse 4, the Holy Spirit came with that power that gave these apostles the power to perform miracles, the power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now I know the time of the church establishment. When that power came, the kingdom came. But the power would come with the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, the power came, the kingdom came. On what day? Acts, the second chapter, verse 1 says, on the day of Pentecost. So I know the time of when it's coming. I know also the place where the church will be established. Here's the third thing that I want to discuss in regard to guidelines about this church. Christ is the founder of that church. He built the church. He established the church. We quote that passage a lot of Matthew 16:18, that upon this rock I will build my church. And that rock is the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But more than that about this church, not only do I have a founder of the church, that is Jesus Christ, and I know who that founder is, as identified in the New Testament, in the Gospel, I know the foundation of the church. And when Paul had preached that gospel to the people at Corinth, he had stated this to this Corinthian church, to the church in Corinth, in which he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man be careful as to how he builds on it, because there's no other foundation than that which is already laid. And that foundation, it says in verse 11, is Jesus Christ. See, there's no other foundation of the church except Jesus Christ. He's the founder of the church. He's the foundation of the church. But more than that, in regard to the church structure, in the structure of the church, it also says in the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 6, he says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, and that cornerstone is Jesus Christ. So that structure of the church has as its foundation Jesus Christ. That structure of the church also has a chief cornerstone. And the purpose of a cornerstone is to bring into harmony those things that make up the church of Jesus Christ. It brought beauty and harmony to the church by Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So I would ask, what is the foundation of the church? Then the church, then the answer given to me is the foundation is Jesus Christ. What is the chief cornerstone? It's Jesus Christ again, because the chief cornerstone is the fulfillment of that scripture of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verse 16, in which Isaiah prophesied, I will lay a chief cornerstone. Isaiah 28, verse 16. But not only that about the church, about its foundation and its founder, the passage that was read, Ephesians 1, 22, 23, it said that the church, the head of the church, is Jesus Christ. So the church has a head, the Lord and Christ of which, when the apostle Peter had completed his sermon, he concluded by saying, let all of the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God had made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he's the head of the church, and we are his body. We all grow up together, according to Ephesians 4, into the building of ourselves unto the head, who is Jesus Christ of the church. So Christ is the founder of the church. He's the foundation of the church, and he's the chief cornerstone of the church, as well as he's the head of the church that he built himself through his apostles. Any church not founded by Christ or built upon the foundation of Christ cannot be the church that is identified in the New Testament. One passage that's very, you know, disturbing, when Christ had said, you know, every plant that my Father has not planted will be rooted up. All right? Every plant that my Father has not planted will be rooted up. All right? That's the third thing that I said. Now I come to the fact of the names of the church. What are the designations that are given to the church that Christ built? I'll go briefly through these and just say what the names are. The thing about it is that these are only designations that show relationship. There's no official declaration that the church will be called this. But you do have designations of which these epistles that were written by Paul, especially by Paul, that address the church as being the church of the Lord, Acts 20, 28. That you know, been appointed bishops to feed the church of the Lord. that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, it's called the church of God. So that's another designation that was given to the church, the house of God or the church of God. In 1 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 15, Paul wrote to young Timothy and told Timothy, teach that those people might behave in the church, which is the household of God, the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. So then it's designated as the house of God, it's designated as the household of God, it's designated as the family of God. All of those are designations given. In 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 16, in the plural, Paul addresses the churches of God in Corinth. All right? And finally, I'll give you one more, several more, but I'll give you one more in Romans 16, 16. The churches of Christ salute you. All of this designation is to show two things. It's to show the ownership of God of the church. God's owned the church through Jesus Christ, his son. It also designates Christ as being the Lord and master and the head of the churches. That's what it shows. There's no man-made name in regard to these churches that are mentioned in the New Testament, that are mentioned in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one official name that's given. That was prophesied by Isaiah, the 56th chapter, and was also prophesied in the 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Only one official name that's given, not to the church, is given to the members of the Lord's church. And that designation, that official name, in which he says, and they shall be called Christians, a new name that I will give them. And then in Acts 11, chapter verse 26, it says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. All right? Isaiah 62nd chapter says, I will put on a new name for my believers or for my children. Isaiah, the 56th chapter, also says, I will give to them a new name in which they will glorify the Father. And then when I read Acts 11, chapter verse 26, the new name is revealed, and that name is stated, and the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. All right? So I know the name. As you notice, the name honors who? Jesus Christ. The name honors the Savior. The name honors the Redeemer. The name honors the head of the church. The name honors the one who will welcome us into heaven and take us into heaven. That's the name. That's the official name that's given. And that official name is the name Christian that's given to everyone who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Finally, I'll come to one more guideline. The laws that govern this church or govern the kingdom. Why the word kingdom of God is used is to designate the form of government that God wanted the church to have. And it's a kingdom with a king. That king is Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And why it's a kingdom is because all the laws are made by the king. We don't legislate in the law. In the kingdom. We don't come as a legislative group to discuss what laws are to be given and what laws are to be taken out, because already the laws are given by Jesus Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the governing laws of this church is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through verse 4, in which it says, I declare unto you, this gospel which you received, by which you stand, and by which you are saved, for I declare unto you, first of all, which is of prime importance, that Christ died, and he was buried according to the scriptures, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the law I'm under. If you call it covenant, then I'm under the covenant of Christ, in which he says, I took away that first covenant, the covenant of Moses. I'm now under the covenant of Jesus Christ. That's the law. And it says also in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, every scripture given by the inspiration of God is profitable for reproof, for teaching, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and completely furnished unto every good work. The laws that I have are already there, necessary for me to be complete. I don't need any more laws except the law of Jesus Christ that's contained in the gospel of Christ. Paul, when he wrote to the Galatian church, I'm so amazed, he said to the Galatian Christian, that you are so quickly removed from the gospel of Christ, because he said, but there's no other gospel. Only some of you distorted the gospel. If any man should preach unto you any other gospel than that which you have heard, then let him be anathema. So no other gospel. I've got a gospel that's complete to make me complete and furnish adequately unto every good work. I've got that gospel in my hands today. So five guidelines. You look at these guidelines. One, where the church began in the city of Jerusalem. Two, when did it begin? On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ was crucified. That's the time of its beginning. Three, the foundation and the cornerstone of the church is Jesus Christ. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. The names of the church can be different designations: the church of the Lord, the church of God, the household of God, the churches of God, or the churches of Jesus Christ. Those are all designations that I can read about the New Testament, because it shows God ownership, and it also shows that Christ is the head and the Lord of the church. The law of the gospel, or the law that governs the church, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the church is a divine institution, came from the wisdom of God. And because it's a divine institution, it's to that church that Christ built, as the Father had directed him, that I must give honor and allegiance to. All who are in Christ are in that church. And every soul, responsible soul, should obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Lord will add him to the church. That's your lesson as to identifying the church. I hope this be profitable for you to identify that church. We extend an invitation to you, to those who haven't obeyed the gospel, because only by obeying the gospel will God add you to his kingdom and add you to the church. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins, and then, of course, be baptized so you can be baptized into Christ and into the church, or into the body of Jesus Christ. You'll be a new man in Christ. The old things have passed away. They become new. You become a new citizen, not of the world, but a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We stand and sing this song.